This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. I already put the number out on social because Nick's Twitter, you know, we need to have it out. But Bart, for those who didn't see it on the social media, give him the number.
1-800-919-3776. And before you start your hating, let my boy Allen take a victory lap, because as all the experts were saying who the best available was, we was on the text and we were, you know, communicating with each other. It was like, guys, relax. Obi. No. But they just said, guys, relax. I said, Obi. No, Allen, I just heard J. Will. I just heard Bill. He said, damn it. I said Obi. We said, okay. And you know what that pick was? Obi. So hate all you want. But finally, the Knicks got who they wanted, who they identified as the player that they wanted to build the Thibodeau era around. So miss me with all the hate today, but I know the hate's going to come. But I'm going to be like the Matrix and Neil when they shot all the bullets. I'm going to avoid all of them. So if you can't get us on the phone line, because I'm sure it's going to be jam-packed, you can catch us on the tweet at Barton High. And if you can't catch us on the tweet at Barton High, DM Allen exclusively on Barton High on Instagram. Bill, do your damn job.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Now, Bill, you're rubbing off on your boy, because now he going waka flock. He trying to fight a 280-pound, you know, lineman in Mark Colombo. But I love that he stood his ground. And at the end of the day, if he had to call security and tell him to get his ass out of the building, his code no longer works. I'm all good with it. So tell them how to get in contact with us again, Bill.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Damn straight.
My headphones are broken.
That's funny.
B&H, I need some headphones. That's the bottom line.
Let's talk. We've been saying that.
This thing's hanging off my ear like I was fighting Tyson and he took a bite of it. Like, hanging. Mess.
You know what's crazy, Alan?
You can't see me, but if you saw me, it'd be hilarious.
It's almost been a year, Alan. And it's crazy because we've been saying this, and it seemed like we've only been around each other like 25 times since we've been screaming for the headphones, and B&H is letting us down, man. They're letting us down.
I bought a laptop
from them.
You did?
And I paid full price, too.
Full price?
You owe me, damn it. You owe us.
Free publicity every time we say B&H. That's why we stopped saying B&H.
Yep.
Spartan, huh?
Exactly. Haters.
But I'll tell you what. The Knicks are the Cleveland Browns. I have to say, look, the draft went for the Knicks as well as the draft has gone in a long time. It's not that they, oh my God, they got fantastic picks and it's just the future is bright. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is two players that they wanted, they got. They maneuvered. They were prepared. This is a team that they moved up, and we wondered why they moved up to 23. What did they do with 23? And then they moved out of 23. Well, they obviously moved up to 23 just in case they had to move up in the draft to get the guy they wanted, which is Obi Toppin. They got him. They got a New York kid who's an athletic freak and a fantastically energetic player that you're going to enjoy watching play. He's a stretch four. He can shoot the three. There's more to his game than he showed at Dayton. He admitted that. Defensive questions, if Tom Thibodeau is watching film and says, yeah, I'll sign off on this, then he must see something that they can fix, right, that they can figure out. Whatever it is, they got the guy they wanted, and he was a National Player of the Year. And a lot of people saw him as a guy that could have gone top five. So, with that in mind, the draft went the way they wanted it. Because even though at 23, okay, they didn't need it, so let's move back. And then they still got another player they wanted, which is Emmanuel Quickley. Which I know a lot of people are like, well, you could have gotten him in the second round. Well, you know what? It's too bad they didn't freaking have you in the war room to tell them that, genius. So they dial that stuff down. That's the stuff I don't want to hear. They could have gotten this guy here. You don't know that. All right? Madam Cleo, relax. So if you don't like the pick, that's one thing. But don't tell me they could have gotten him somewhere else. This draft was not that good. So you just get the player you know. They knew this kid. They wanted him. They got him. So they got the players they wanted. They left happy. They weren't jumped by anyone. They weren't caught off guard. They got the players they wanted. Now, with that in mind, when people say to me, are you happy? You feel good? No. Now, Bart, ask me why I don't still feel good yet about everything happening with this team.
Well, Alan, why don't you feel good about, 25,000 forwards?
Exactly. Because you're still the Cleveland Browns, chasing the quarterback, trying to find one, and you didn't get one. Now, was this draft one that had like a bona fide, this dude's going to be your starting point guard day one, like this is going to be a stud point guard? No. No, every guard in this draft had question marks, had concerns. So you had other options you went with. You could have gotten a guard at 25. There were a bunch of dudes that were there that I liked too. I like Malachi Flynn. I like Peyton Pritchard. I like Tyrell Terry. Those guys were all there. But guess what they are? They're at best going to be in their career. At best. Now, there's always those outliers that all of a sudden show up and they're like, wow, they got him at 28 and he became a stud. Those are outliers. They happen. But you can't tell me I'm taking a guy at 25 and I think he's a four-year senior and I'm going to turn him into a superstar. Come on. At best, that's a guy that's going to come off your bench and be a combo guard, a backup guard, whatever it is. And they can still be a valuable player. But I'm looking for the guy who's now going to be the maestro. Because you've got a team now that needs one. And you've got now, with Toppin and with Mitchell Robinson.
Ooh, you got a fast break waiting to happen, baby.
Oh, you got it's Lob City. But the problem is, it's not Lob City. It's like, what is it? Lob Neighborhood? Lob Block?
Let's go, Dennis Smith. Get him up.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Never mind. I'm sorry.
Whoops.
Whoopsies.
Because that is the best guard. I mean, that's your starting point guard right now. Dennis Smith Jr. So, when you ask me, this is two questions. How do you think the Knicks did? They did great. They got what they wanted. Oh, so you're saying they had a great draft? I didn't say that. They did great because they got what they wanted. But I still see a franchise that, much like the Cleveland Browns, still can't find their quarterback. And we go now into free agency, which starts tomorrow. And I'm going to see if they're going to give Fred VanVleet 4 years and $117 million to try to get him to leave Toronto.
Or
26 Rondo? Years old.
Is Rondo a possibility?
That's not. He's,
hold the fort.
I mean, again, Rondo is an AARP. I mean, I'm talking about a guy with a bunch of 19, 20, 22-year-olds. I need somebody that's a little bit closer to their age that I feel like for the next couple of years, you got something fun to watch. Like, I don't, like, you understand what I'm saying, Bart?
I do.
Like, I've got, here's the thing. It's like a hockey team. When you got great wings and no center, okay. It's a donut. It's a hole in the middle. The Knicks are the same thing. They right now have young talent on the wing, in the paint, and the most important position, they don't have it. And they still are looking for it. So I can't sit back and think, all right, I like this. I like what I see. I can't. Because they don't have the most valuable position, and that's point guard. They weren't able to get in this draft, and now I got to see, can they do it in free agency? Can they do it in a trade? That's why you're asking. I give you two answers when you asked me about last night. I thought it went well for the Knicks, but I don't think at all that they solved their problems.
But you can only connect the dots, right, looking backwards, correct? You can't connect them going forward. So we're hoping that, are we going to give this regime the benefit of the doubt? I know what previous regimes have been and those before that. We all know the history of the Knicks.
Right.
But are you going to give this regime the benefit of the doubt, knowing that they said, hey, they were going to get Obi, and they got him? The fact that, we had Worldwide West probably working his magic, knowing that he was going to be there because they didn't panic. They didn't move up and try to shoot up to try and go get somebody. I thought they were very, very prepared, and they come off as looking very professional. Today's a good day for the Knicks because they look like a professional outfit. They look like they went through and they had a plan. They look like everybody did their job. So to the other guys out there, to all the players out there, it started to say, oh, maybe the Knicks are starting to build something. Maybe I could go there and, you know, I get there and I be the first piece and the second piece, or I can talk to a guy and we can try and get something together. And especially if you think that they have something and they're going to spend some long-term equity on a guy like Van Fleet. Mm-hmm. And get him out of Toronto and get him here. And he's a guy that can shoot. He's a guy that's a competitor. He's a guy that I believe is a defensively responsible player. You know, you think about Toronto and that entire team, they all had a commitment to defense. And he's a big shot. He's a big shot maker. And this will give him the opportunity to step out of the shadows of Lowry and say, you know what, I'm going to have an opportunity to lead my own squad. And I'm comfortable with the guys that they got running it. He probably called Drake and was like, hey, man, you used to talk about World Wide West. How well you know him? Let me holler at him. Tell him I'm thinking about coming. You know what I'm saying? Because if I can do it in New York, I already got my title. So now it's all about the cash, homie.
It is. And it's to me, in a draft like this, Bart, it's about relationships, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's why when you see what they did and you see that they took a guy like Obi Toppin, and then later you find out, you know, John Wallace was telling me, because he's close with Rick Brunson, and Rick Brunson, who used to be on Tom Thibodeau's coaching staff for a while, in both places, Minnesota and Chicago, he's training players, and one of the players that he has been training all summer in Jersey is Obi Toppin. He's been working him out, so you have inside information on this kid. Like if you're telling me like this is a decision you made on draft night, we all know that's not the decision you made on draft night. This was the decision made a while back, which is why they just grabbed that 23 pick just in case. If we need to package the 8 and another pick, let's get a little closer so that it has some value. So if we have to jump up, because I think Cleveland was shopping that pick at 5, and they were willing to move back. So there was some options for you to move up if you had to, but as the draft was laying out, you're like, you know what, we're not going to have to move up. I think we're going to be fine. So that's why they had that inside information on Toppin. They spent a lot of time on him. They know him very, very well.
That's not the only person they know. Explain to the folks out there who else they know and why.
Well, all right, so the pick at 25, we were supposed to get him on today, but we have to wait because the trade won't be official till this weekend. All right, so everybody understands that. So we were going to have Emmanuel quickly on today, but we weren't able to get him on, mainly because the trade's not done yet, so you can't talk to the kid about it, right? We will, though, have Anthony Grant on, who is the Dayton coach, and he coached Obi Toppin. He coached at Oklahoma City for a while. He and Billy Donovan have a relationship, and he's a straight shooter. It'll be great to talk to him about Toppin and what he sees in him as an NBA player. And Dayton, by the way, which was robbed of NCAA tournament glory, because of, obviously, of COVID. So it'd be good to talk with Anthony Grant. That'll be at noon. But just getting back to the other pick, which is 25. And there's people that are like, you could have gotten this kid in the second round. And again, I say, if only they had you in the war room to tell them that, they would have not made the pick at 25. Or how about they're like, I don't care where we're picking. I like this kid. We know him really well. We're just going to go with this, and we're going to call it a day. And that's what they did. Now, Quickly is a combo guard out of Kentucky. And I posted a story on The Athletic, and I shout out to Hurls, who sent it, because it's a really interesting story about a player who, oh, by the way, was SEC Player of the Year. Now, Kentucky had a bunch of guys. This wasn't a typical superstar Kentucky team, but they were a hard-playing team. Quickly's a guy that can shoot threes, Bart. We like that, don't we?
We love the space.
Yeah,
that.
He's also like a 90-something percent free throw shooter. We like that, too, don't we?
I love that.
Okay. So what you also know about him is he's a combo guard. And they've talked about how when you go to Kentucky sometimes, and Tyler Hero is a great example of that, how you don't always play in the position that you're used to playing. They make you uncomfortable because there's so much talent there. Everybody kind of fights over, well, I'm the point guard, I'm the two guard, I'm a combo. You play off the ball sometimes, all that stuff. They feel like, and Kenny Payne's an assistant now with the Knicks. He was on the coaching staff with Kentucky this past season and for the last 20 years, or whatever it was, 10 years. And he knows all these players. They know this kid intimately. Like, they know everything about him. And so when you pick him and you say from the outside, I've watched film, he's not that good. Well, maybe the guys that know him well No, there's a little more to his game than maybe you saw in games. And there's talk about, and this story outlines it from talking to different people, that, yeah, he's got some stuff. He's not super athletic, a strong body. You don't know if he's a point guard or a two. You're not sure. But we know he can score, very confident. He's got a multifaceted game where he can score in many different ways. He can shoot the three. Not a super high percentage, but he can shoot it. Or at least in the games, they weren't super high percentage. But they've seen him shoot. They've seen him work out. Gym rat. You can't get him out of the gym. Just loves the game. One of those types. And they use Tyler Hero as the example. Gave him space. You put him in the NBA type of set. Right. And his game just suddenly gets... The game gets easier for some guys when they go to the pros.
Yeah, because of the zone. And people not just sitting there. And you don't have to play in the system. You could be free. I mean, we've seen this over and over again. We've seen guys average 14 points in college. And then they average 20. And they're like, where have this been?
Yeah. I mean, so who knew Bam Adebayo was going to become a superstar like he did? It's all about development. Like, that's a big part of it, too. But look, I'm not saying, oh, Quickley's just going to be a star. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in a draft of so much uncertainty, where you're only allowed to meet with 10 players, that's it, 10. You meet with them once, that's it. Usually in the draft process, you're working guys out, you take them out to dinner. There's a lot more to it. This is all virtual. It's all Zoom meetings and Zoom workouts. There wasn't a ton of tape. There was no NCAA tournament to watch where it's like true pressure cooker type stuff. And when you look at Quickley and the numbers on him, when he's on the road playing in a hostile environment, he shot the best. Again, when you know he's a gym rat type of personality, like that's the kind of thing you look at. That he's a competitor, he's a baller, and the key here, willing to play a role. Understood it, which is not easy. And some guys, when you draft them, who were the man at their school, and you're like, all right, you're coming to the NBA. All right, we want you to play this role off the bench, but you're going to be sort of a combo. Ball's not always going to be in your hand, but we need you to play this role and thrive. And it's like, that's an adjustment for a lot of guys who, for most of their lives, they've had the ball in their hands, and they've been the man. This guy is showing you, like a lot of Kentucky guys show you, that they can do that because they've had to do it at Kentucky. That's how Cal teaches them. So if you're asking me, can he come in and play right away a role? Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're believing here. So when you ask, why did they make this pick? I'm trying to explain it to you. Now, I will again, full disclosure, looked at 25 and said, there's some veteran guards, Malachi Flynn, Peyton Pritchard, Tyrell Terry, there's some point guards that are there that I'd love to see them grab. I'd love to see them get this type of a point guard. So I'm not saying that I'm all for this, but when right. I do the homework, when I read and I talk to people, okay, now I understand the thinking. Let's see what they can do with them. But you draft people that you know really well because you're comfortable with them. Right. And that's certainly what they did in this draft part. So I feel like they had a good night as a team. They did well. Because they got what they wanted. But I still feel empty because the most important position in the sport is still a major question mark for this team.
And they may be addressing that through via tomorrow, starting to start a free agency. So if they're addressing it then we can get another piece to the puzzle and say, hey, they had a plan all along. They wanted to develop this kid and they thought that he can be Halliburton. He can be him, and he was a poor man. So we got what we wanted because there was only one Obi in the draft. So we got the one Obi that we got, and then we got a poor man's Halliburton, whatever you want to say. And then we're going to get somebody that's going to mentor him and somebody he can learn from. So we don't have to put the pressure on him day one because if you would have went and got Tyler, wouldn't he been expected to play and perform at a high level? But if you go out and you get a veteran guy and he's coming off the bench, it allows him to kind of develop into that role.
It's fair. Yeah, look, Halliburton has a nice all-around game, but yet somehow he went to 12. So you always wonder, like, well, if he's considered, if some people thought he was going to be one of the best playmaking guards in this draft, why did so many people pass on him? You know, like, so there's also that kind of stuff. So, again, 800-919-3776 is the number. We want to get everybody involved in this, though, because, like I said, there was so much activity on Twitter last night through the night. I was up late last night, just even after I got back from the studio. It was great. By the way, Bart, it was great to be back in the studio under the real TV lights and stuff. Like, it was kind of
fresh,
cool.
Right? Feel fresh,
yeah,
right?
It felt good to be in a suit.
Everybody do your part. You look great, man. And everybody do your part. Everybody do your part so Alec can stay in the studio. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I absolutely missed that. It was just great to have everybody there. John Wallace told some great stories from his draft experience. Wally, of course, who is just a savant when it comes to basketball, college basketball, especially because he watches so much. He covers it for CBS. So he knew so many players. Like, there were players. There was one guy. It was like he had one vowel. His name literally was about 11 letters long. There was only one vowel, and it was at the beginning of the name. I don't even know how to pronounce it. And he's like, oh, yeah, this guy does. He's just breaking it down. Like, how the hell do you know about that guy? So that's what made Wally, like, valuable last night, Bill Pito. It was a lot of fun, what we did in the studio and how we were able to do it throughout the draft. Overall, though, there was a lot of other headlines, not just Knicks related. I thought the Nets made a fantastic move. I'll tell you about that. A terrible story out of Golden State. A heartbreaking story out of Golden State that we got to talk about on the NBA side of things. And then, Bart, of course, the Mets, it's almost like fortune, and you hate to, like...
No, their fortunes are changing. No, it's good fortune.
Oh, my goodness, man. Like that story that came out after our show...
Burn the sage.
It is... It's amazing. Oh, I got to point out something else. Speaking of sage, John Wallace and I were talking about health and, you know, the best ways to stay healthy. And you... He said, sea moss.
It's a sea moss.
Aha.
He swears by it. And I was like, I got to get you and Bart together. Nice. No doubt about that. Sea moss. I'm going to get on the sea moss now.
Get your yin-yang twins right, too.
I'm phrasing?
I'm good. Fortunately, I'm good there. And I have.
But is it? You can never improve on a strength.
That's, I don't mind doing that either. Getting older, you know how it goes. All right, let's grab a call.
Phrasing.
I would have 3776. Let's see. Let's go with Clinton in Harlem to start us off. Clinton.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good. I love your tone this morning. I think you make very fair points about the hole still missing. But one thing I do want to address that I think is a little unfair that some Knicks fans, a lot of callers this morning, even Jay Will hit this last night when they drafted Obi. You know, people are bringing up the forwards. There's a lot of forwards. I don't like the fit. It's a glut of forwards. Other than Mitchell Robinson, I don't think any of the bigs on the Knicks roster are part of their future. And these guys are all on team options. And Julius Randle has only one more guaranteed year. And that third year is a
club option.
That third year is a team option. So, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, it's like these guys are solidifying their front line. They're making some moves for the future. There's not a glut of forwards because these guys are not part of the future.
I get what you're saying because you're right. Like, you know, the you can look at it two ways. Well, they have a ton of power forwards, yes, but two of them are on club options this year, Taj and Bobby Portis, and then Julius Randle's on the last year. And now that I really look at it, do you really want Julius Randle on this roster if that means Obi Toppin now has to come off the bench? Like, I kind of feel like if you're going to, like, let's just go. You know, if I can move Julius Randle, I'm going to move him. Only because why not have the 22, you have a pair of 22-year-olds at power forward and center and they can both jump out of the gym. Like, do I really want Julius Randle in the way? So I feel like I got to find a way to move him. It's an inspiring contract. Let me move him.
I was hoping that too. Give up a draft pick and just move him to somebody that can eat up his salary.
Get him out of the way. You know, I'd rather keep Portis, who at least can come off the bench as a four.
Yeah, send him to Atlanta.
And Julius, who has to start, and put him at the four.
Send him to Atlanta and get some lemon pepper Lou wings.
There you go. So I get that, but I'm just being a realist. This has happened before, and so I'm seeing it happen again. You load up in your front court, and then you forget you still need the maestro, and they don't have that guy. And it feels like the Cleveland Browns, year after year after year. Who's it going to be now at the point guard? Who's starting at point guard this year? I mean, the names just keep changing every single year. Can you get somebody that can be the point guard here for more? Like, can I get one that's a starter for consecutive years? Because I don't think we've... When was the last time the Knicks had a point guard who started, who was the majority starter for two consecutive years? Two! That's all I'm asking. The majority starter. That's what I want to know, because it's been a while. Let's take Derek in Harlem. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, Al? What's up, Bart? I just want to congratulate the Knicks for actually running a competent draft for the first time, like Bart said. Like, when have you ever seen the Knicks do... Like, usually, we're in the draft, and you know how it is, Alan. We're always like, oh, the player we wanted, we missed them. So now they got the player they wanted. They traded back, they traded up, they moved around. I've never seen the Knicks do stuff like that in the draft.
And well, that's Walt Perrin has been doing...
We had no shooters, so we got a shooter.
You know what, though, Derek? Walt Perrin has been running the Utah Jazz draft for 20 years. There's a reason why they went and got him. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so they hired the right people.
Everybody did their job. That's the point. Everybody did their job.
Yeah, so that's good. No, that part's good. Thanks, D. That part's good. It's the incompleteness that is still there, and you're chasing the one thing that I think is the toughest thing to get. You know, it's almost like the Jets, but it feels more like the Browns. And I hate to keep saying, I'm not harping on it, but I am, because I don't want to let go of that until it's complete. Get the guard, get the maestro, and then now we can start talking. So how I remedied my headphone issue, which my friends at Best Buy.
I can see you now.
In Huntington.
Best Buy.
Those are my guys over there. I love those guys.
Shout out Best Buy. Send me some.
I'm heading over there this afternoon. So if you're listening, fellas, I'll be there to get me some new headphones. But what every dad does. Every dad does this when something breaks. You know what you do, right?
Yeah.
Go get you get duct tape. Stuff.
Or mechanical tape. Let me see what you got.
Yeah, here you go.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
See that?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Man, duct tape fixes everything. Everything.
Why aren't you sponsored by Beat by Dre anyway? Because I mean,
why don't you ask your boy about that?
You're always making them look good. Mm. You represent, and you know, you're always talking about hip hop and music.
That's a good point.
That should be a win-win. I mean, I don't get it. That go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Well, you have PC Richardson, son. PC Richardson, son of your friends.
Yeah, Ty, what's up, Ty? Well, Ty, I appreciate that, Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who got the best friends. Let's see who has
the best friend. Right, is Best Buy my best friend or is PC Richard your best friend?
Yes.
Who is a better friend?
Let's do it for like.
We don't have a whistle for Best Buy.
Let's do it for Xbox. Let's do it for.
How good of a friend are you? Send me a PS5
or Xbox.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
So, did you hear? I don't think it's official yet, but there was word that was spread throughout the draft last night about Klay Thompson injuring his other leg.
Yes,
and my friend Marcus Spears on he's on the undefeated. Yeah, exactly. Not Marcus. He said that somebody was telling him that it's not good. Like in that. Yeah. Kind of that grave means, voice. It's not maybe. Good.
Yeah, I mean,
and there's a rumor out there that it's Achilles.
Got Achilles. Yeah.
God,
like Kevin Durant, man. We always talk about the compensation.
Klay Thompson. How bad do you feel for Klay Thompson?
It's an opposite leg. Too. Exactly. It's been 17 months, Alan. So it's not that he wasn't ready to come back. We've seen guys come back far sooner than that. It's just one of those freak injuries where you don't realize you're compensating. I talk about it all the time.
Oh, I know it.
It's always the opposite leg. I guarantee you it's the opposite leg.
It's 100% true. You know, again, I'm not at that level, but when I tore my ACL the first time, the compensation was off the charts to a point where my meniscus on the left side just started to grind. Then I tore it the second time, and I tried to come back that second time, and the left leg was done. And now my left leg, I'm 20-something years later.
Yeah.
My left leg is worse than my right leg.
Yeah, that's why
my right knee's fine because it was reconstructed. My left knee, forget.
And you did all the rehab to make that super strong.
Yeah.
And then the other one gets weaker, so then one side's stronger than the other. And, you know, when you look at what happened with Boogie. Boogie came back from Achilles. Then the next year, he blew his opposite quad out.
So what happens, like, to the Warriors all of a sudden now because it's no longer Splash Brothers?
Championship dreams are done. It's now, championship. He's 30 years old, Allen.
Wiggins now becomes more important. They can't trade him now. Imagine if they traded Wiggins.
I thought if they were going to do that, they were going to trade him yesterday. But they just said, you know what? They're going to take the best available because I thought they were going to trade number two pick and trade Wiggins at the same time. Because last year when we talked about the money matching up, being able to bring in a max contract, we talked about how it matched up. And that's why they got rid of D'Angelo Russell. But that's why in turn they brought back Wiggins so the money can match up so they can bring in a third max contract. But now they can't do that. So now you kind of stuck with Wiggins and you stuck with Curry. And we talked earlier, I was with Jay Will. And we talked about the usage of Curry and how he breaks down if you ask him to do too much and he has to carry the load, much like how he did last year in his injury history as well. So, listen, this is tough, man, because you expect this team to say, you know what?
Warriors can't live through another. Can you call them a championship contender in the?
You can't.
In the West?
I don't know.
Not without Klay.
Yeah, and they're not. I mean, not, you know, Wiseman become like the rookie of the year, and he's like the second coming of like. Who's been a big man that just come and take the league by storm? Like, he's Dwight Howard or he's Tim Duncan year one. Like, that's the only way I can see, like, okay, well, we do have a big three. Wiggins got to step up. It's too many ifs. And, you know, that's a lot to ask. But last year we saw this very proud organization only win 15 games. You thought that was the year that they was going to punt on. It's no way that they're going to punt the second year and not compete and not try and get into the playoffs. But they're going to go into the playoffs undermanned because the other teams in that conference, whether it's the Denver Nuggets, whether it's the Utah Jazz, whether it's the Portland Trailblazers who got a lot better, whether it's the Phoenix Suns who got a lot better, whether it's the Clippers that got Luke Kennard from Detroit, so now they got a spaced out shooter.
Interesting. Like, I love that pickup.
You know, so it's like, you know, out there, they could be the eighth seed and bounce early. How disrespectful would that be?
Oh, now with that in mind, you mentioned Kennard, you mentioned the Detroit moving all the different picks that were moving around. The Nets had the 19th pick in the draft. They traded it. And they traded it for Landry Shamet.
Great.
I thought when I saw that, I was like, what a great pickup that is.
And come on home.
He's a career 40% three-point shooter. And each year just gets better and better. He was nice with the Sixers. The Clippers, he had to find his but he had some good games, though. He can get hot. Yep. He's a perfect role player, come in and space the floor kind of guy that you need on a team with stars. Perfect.
Get Kyrie a quick little break. That way, you know, the offense can go through KD. You know, and by the time you're not losing much, you need these guys off the bench, man.
Yeah.
You need these guys that are these instant microwave Vinny Johnson type guys to come off and give you offense, that can run the offense as well and also score and create their own shot. He's one of those guys. He's competitive as hell, too. I love the pick as well, but we still know that that's not what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that third big piece.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see now. Will they make the move?
Who blinks
first? Will they make the move for James Harden? Is that going to happen? Obviously, you know, you'd think, would they have done it with the 19th pick? You know, would the Rockets want to pick this year? But clearly, no. So the Rockets are still holding out.
Rockets going to need players. And they're going to have to give up a haul, man.
But it has to happen before the season starts, Bart. This can't be something that, if this lingers into the season, it's less likely it's going to happen, in my opinion.
Well, we know James Harden ain't going to get booed because ain't no fans. But it's Texas. You never know. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Remember in Anthony Davis, like how they were booing him there and how uncomfortable that was to watch his home team booing him while he's sitting on the bench? You don't have to worry about that in Texas. And the fact that if you're going to get it done, if you're going to get rid of him, then you got to say, you know, I'm trying to get rid of Russell as well because they're joined at the hip. So, I mean, you might as well say, you know what, if we're getting rid of these guys, we're going to get rid of Tucker. So maybe, you know, if I'm
yeah, he's got to go too.
Yeah, maybe you get more if you send Tucker and you send Harden somewhere, some type of three-team trade, somebody that's going to absorb some of that contract and make the money match. I mean, look at a team like Cleveland. I mean, they should have some contracts that can match. Hey, send them Drummond.
No, nobody wants that either. 800-919-3776. Again, just remind everybody, Anthony Grant, who is Obi Toppin's coach at Dayton, he'll join us at noon, so we'll get some insight on who the Knicks are going to get. So we look forward to that. But let's get some calls going here. Chris in Wantagh. Chris?
Alan, Bart, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Listen, this is, before I get into this, it has nothing to do with Obi. I think he's going to be a great player, and I don't want Julius Randle on my team. I just need that to be said before any of this. But when you have the eighth overall pick, and like you guys have said, who's throwing the point? And when a point is what's needed to play with RJ and Mitch, I would much rather have my pick of the point guards and then settle for, you know, like Jaden or Josh McDaniels from Washington, who's probably a better NBA four. Because he's a more like an actual shooter. Obi isn't a shooter, guys. Obi's a post player that was given open threes in college because I ain't getting dunked on. I'd rather you take a three.
Chris, I got to back it up there. People that know stuff are people I talk to.
Yeah.
They said, see, he's not an athlete who shoots threes. He's a three-point shooter who's an athlete. He just it wasn't part of what he had to do in college, so he didn't have to take a ton.
Okay, that's fine, but Alan, and I'm not going to try to say I know more than these people because I don't. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I just asked. What I do is
Alan's those people. See what you don't realize that, and I'm going to let you finish your point.
Okay.
Alan just did a little baby flex on you. He's like,
I know who I talk to, son. I've called Alan before. He knows.
I like Chris. I like Chris a lot, and we both agree though. I felt empty coming out of a draft without a point guard. I felt empty. I'm being honest. I felt empty.
Quigley's more of a two, and if he hits, that's great. He's a 6'7" shooter.
Yeah, he's a.
So what if you get VanVleet?
Quigley's
again,
Quickly, to me, is going to be your off-the-bench scoring combo guard. That's what he's going to be in one day, and that's fine. But it's not a point.
We still have to move Julius, too. Like,
yeah,
the thing is, we have Julius, and as much as I hated him, you get an actual point guard, and, like, we need... Listen, the whole thing is...
Well, how many point guards... How about this one? Chris, how many point guards do the Pelicans need at this point? They drafted one. They traded for three of them. They all can't be there.
So you want Lonzo?
Can I make an analogy?
Lonzo, Eric Bledsoe. Give me somebody.
You're a Jets fan, too, Alan. You're a Jets fan, too. We've time and time again take the best player available instead of the need. Yeah. And it ends up making us have to move a player who has a better value but no longer fits the system because we like the guy younger. Obi Toppin's great, but his offensive game, like you said, he can shoot threes. He's a monster in the paint. Where is Mitch a monster? Mitch is a monster in the paint. The reason why Mitch always gets in foul trouble, he has to defend poor defenders. This is just another guy who's going to be a poor defender. He's going to get on Thibs' doghouse. Then Thibs is going to have to explain to the media why he isn't playing this guy.
I never let you do that. I never let you go ahead and tell me what a kid's going to be before we've seen him play. So I'm not going to let you do that. Especially, again, let's also look at it this way. Tom Thibodeau was very much involved in the draft process. Trust me on that, all right? Just take my word for it, which means he watched a ton of film. It's what he does. It's what the guy watches film. He doesn't watch TV shows. He doesn't he binge watches.
No friends.
2019, 2020 Knicks games. That's his binge, all right? So he was also binge watching a lot of Dayton because he knew this is the guy we want to get. He knew. So he did all his homework and he watched him. And you're telling me that he watched him and he's like, holy crap, this kid can't defend. We're in big trouble. You don't think he would have said something? You don't think he would have said, hey, guys, I see major flaws in this dude. Or does he say, I can fix this. Like, there's something there. All right, it's easily fixed. So that's what you got to know. You got to feel like, I think he probably feels like they can fix it. That's all I'm going to say on that one. All right, we'll continue with the calls. 800-919-3776. Again, I love the passion. Don't get me wrong. I'm coming back at you just because that's how we do it. But it's not like I'm not fighting you. I'm not telling you you're wrong. Like, this is how we do it. When Bart talks to Jets fans and NFL fans, the same thing happens. They'll give an opinion, and then he'll give his educated opinion, and we fight it out. That's what we do. So don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just call in. We'll have some fun. Let's get through these calls. And you know what? James of Spring Valley is going to come up next. And James, I'm going to have it out with you right now. You ready?
Say it with your chest, James. That would mean be ready, James.
So Stevie is all over, like, he's tweeting, like, every 3 seconds about how he's a loyal listener. He's waiting on hold. Why don't you pick it up? You guys got to stop that, man. We got a show to do.
It's got to stop with these iPhone 6s, man. Step your game up.
I was about to have it out.
Lose the number.
No, I don't do that. Just wait your turn.
Or pay your bill, man.
All right. Rick is in Harlem.
Joe Judge is
Come on, Rick.
What's up, fellas? Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
What's up,
man? Listen, Alan, I got a question for you. What do you think it would take for the Knicks to get De'Aaron Fox?
You'd have to wait till he's a free agent.
Really? So you wouldn't trade for him?
You can't. Why would the Kings trade him? He's their best player.
Didn't they just draft a point guard last night?
You think that kid... I know everybody loves Halliburton. If you think he is going to step in and take De'Aaron Fox's position, I mean, come on. De'Aaron Fox is like... He's on the verge of becoming an all-star.
Super. I think what he's alluding to on the telecast yesterday, Alan, because you were on another telecast doing your thug dizzle like you always do, represent for NY. But they were saying that, you know, they didn't believe that Fox was going to stay long-term, and they had concerns about that, so they made this pick with that in mind. So with that being said, they may want to move him a year early before he's going to be a free agent to try and get some compensation for him. So that's why, you know, my man is calling up saying,
I apologize, Rick. Look, where did De'Aaron Fox go to college?
Kentucky?
Yeah, that'd be Kentucky, right. What's the connection that they have? The Knicks now, their new pipeline.
So you can't be teasing me like that, Alan. So, you keep giving me all
I
these.
I mean, if there's something, if there's some intel to be known, you'd think they'd know it, okay? But that's, again, I have no reason to think Sacramento is trying to trade him.
They know they can't re-sign him, though, Alan.
He's going to be a restricted free. I mean, he's not going to take an extension, maybe. He doesn't want to stay there. He just got married, by the way.
Mm.
De'Aaron Fox did.
I'm sure his wife wants to live in New York and go on Park Avenue and spend all his money.
I don't have that. I don't have any of that information. That was something that maybe they talked about on the ESPN broadcast last night.
Yep.
But what would it take? A lot. All right, a lot. Nikki in Brooklyn. Nikki.
Hey, what's up, Alan? Bart, how's everything going?
It's good.
My take on the us missing out on another point guard. I was really upset that I guess we got a guy at 8, but at 23, we had a chance to get RJ. I keep pronouncing his name wrong. Hamilton, or
RJ Hampton.
RJ Hampton. Mm-hmm. I think that kid is going to be a big.
What? All right, what?
We lost out on,
just Nikki. Nikki, what tells you that he's going to be an All Star?
Not that he tells me. I just feel like he was overseas playing with men, so it's just like more.
Right.
I was heartbroken that we lost our own ball. But the other caller just made a nice comment about how about Lonzo? Lonzo. Hey, I'll take Lonzo. We need a point guard badly.
Or Drew Bledsoe.
I'm not a big fan of that.
I don't know. You got to get you do need a point guard. But thanks for the call, Nikki. I mean. You know, I don't know. I think R.J. Hampton's an interesting story. There's a reason why he went all the way into the 20s. There's still a lot of work he needs to do. You know, that's not one that kept me up last night. You know what I mean? That's not one that I went, oh man, missed out on that guy. You know, like that. I'm sorry, that's not one that got me too concerned. Let's go to Tony in Queens. Tony.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm feeling pretty optimistic this morning because. When we've been drafting in the past, it's always been like, we should have got this guy or that guy. Kind of think, you know, they filled in some serious holes. Now, in free agency, you know, if they could get a Van Fleet and the guy really want us to get is Christian Wood to put him at the forward
spot.
Well,
now you can't get a Christian Wood. You just drafted a four.
Yeah, but then Christian Wood can also play.
Well, then what do you do with Randall? Bar. But you get Randall then.
But Randall is somebody, if we can't trade, we hold him because if there's an injury during the season, then he becomes even more valuable.
I don't know about that, Tony. I appreciate your optimism, but that's, you know, that none of that makes a whole lot of sense. DJ in Staten Island, DJ. DJ.
DJ. Alan, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
What's up?
Chris, Spike, everybody. I love the fact, you know, that they're Knicks fans. I love it.
Right.
But Obi Toppin, like, I get it. Defensively, he's not up there. But it's not because he can't be. Offensively, you pick the best player in this draft. And for all the people that are talking about R.J. Hampton, first off, R.J. Hampton can't shoot. Tyrese, I don't know about him. He got drafted all the way to Sacramento. I see him more as a role player, the first point guard off your bench. So you didn't miss out on anybody that you... And the LaMelo Ball, you don't even know what he can be. So you didn't miss out on anything that you're going to be upset about at the point guard position. You trade Randall, get a wing, because you know Tibbs loves his wings. They just signed Reggie Bullock to a little extension this morning. And then you go after either Fred VanVleet or DJ Augustine, man. At least now, you see the picture. You see what the Knicks are like. You see the building blocks. They're not all together yet. But the Knicks have a couple of building pieces that they want. And for all everybody that's talking about shooting, Emmanuel Quickly, he could shoot. that's the guaranteed thing about Emmanuel Quickly. I don't know why everybody's overlooking that.
I appreciate the call, DJ, and the outlook. Again, everybody's going to debate this, and the best thing about it is we can debate it until we start seeing people play, and then reality sets in. Then you know what you got. That's what this is always going to be about. Right after a draft, we do this NFL draft, NBA draft. This is what we do. We debate. Whether the guy we liked was drafted, he wasn't. Oh, now I'm mad because that was the guy I liked. That's just how we do this. But the proof will be once they hit the court. And unlike most draft years where you have to wait a couple of months, we're going to see it right away. In a couple of weeks, Obi Toppin will be out there in a Knick jersey. Tyrese Haliburton will be out there in a Sacramento Kings jersey. And then we'll know, or at least we'll see initially, who looks more ready. And then over time, you'll know which was the best deal. Like I said, I'll finish it with this. For the Knicks, it was a good draft because they got the guys they wanted, which you can't say. You don't normally say that every year for the Knicks. But was it a perfect draft? No, because there's still a major hole that this team is still chasing. And that, as I said, is the one that the Cleveland Browns are chasing as well. The quarterback for the Knicks, it's the point guard. That's the part to me that leaves me empty. Until they solve that riddle, they will continue to be a team that is chasing it. And that we wait and see what they can do from there.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.